Welcome back to the Oscar Project Podcast, the show where I discuss Oscar-nominated films year by year. I'm your host, Jonathan Utreberg, and today I'm covering the 1928 film Sadie Thompson. As always, we'll start with a basic summary before we dive a little bit deeper on the film. Sadie Thompson first hit theaters on January 7th, 1928. It was directed by Roel Walsh and written by Walsh and Gloria Swanson, and based on the 1922 short story by William Somerset Maugham. Swanson stars as the title character, along with Lionel Barrymore as Alfred Davidson, Blanche Federici as Mrs. Davidson, Charles Willis Lane as Dr. MacPhail, Florence Midgley as Mrs. MacPhail, James A. Marcus as Joe Horn, and Walsh himself as Sergeant O'Hara. The film runs to 91 minutes and was produced by Gloria Swanson Productions, with distribution by United Artists. Swanson received an Academy Award nomination for Best Actress, and George Barnes was nominated for Best Cinematography for this film, as well as The Devil Dancer and The Magic Flame. The film is available on very limited DVD, but more readily available on Tubi as of this recording. As noted a moment ago, the film is based on the short story titled Rain. It takes place in Pago Pago, the capital city of American Samoa. There, a boat arrives carrying Mr. and Mrs. Davidson, Mr. and Mrs. MacPhail, and Sadie Thompson herself. When the boat is quarantined in Pago Pago, the group all end up staying in the same house of Mr. Horn and his wife, the Davidsons and MacPhails in nice rooms upstairs, while Sadie gets the storeroom and back. Sadie immediately brings in several of the local army men to help her clean out the storeroom and enjoy a good time, playing loud music while the others are trying to eat a peaceful dinner. Mr. Davidson takes exception to this and storms into the storeroom, demanding that she cease her immoral ways. Sadie begins to fall in love with one of the soldiers, Sergeant O'Hara, who doesn't much worry about her shady past. Meanwhile, Davidson embarks on a mission to redeem Sadie and tricks her into telling him about her past in San Francisco. She refuses to repent for her history, and Davidson goes to the governor of the island to have her deported back to San Francisco. It is uncovered that there is a warrant out for her arrest in San Francisco, and Sadie eventually does relent, praying for days in an attempt to show Davidson that she has changed and shouldn't be sent back. O'Hara even tries to forcibly sneak Sadie out to get her away from Davidson, but she refuses. Finally, Davidson realizes one night that he is attracted to Sadie, and they speak one last time before Davidson sends her back to her room. The next morning, Davidson's body is found in the water on the beach, apparently dead from suicide. Sadie quickly returns to her original style of dress, reunites with O'Hara, and they head off for Australia together. Gloria Swanson was the biggest name attached to this film, and I would argue remains so to this day. She was born on March 27, 1899 in Chicago, Illinois. Her father was in the military, and as such, the family moved around a lot. She spent some of her childhood in Key West, Florida, and also in Puerto Rico. She started acting as an extra at SNA Studios in Chicago before landing steadier roles there and eventually relocating to California to work for Keystone Studios. Before long, she was working for the famous Players Lasky Studios with director Cecil B. DeMille before she moved on once again to join the newly formed United Artists in 1925. I don't want to get too far into her career here because we will revisit her work in later seasons. In her personal life, Swanson was married 6 times, most lasting just a few years. She also famously had an affair with Joseph Kennedy, father of President John F. Kennedy. They also became business partners for a time before he left her after the release of Queen Kelly, her next film after Sadie Thompson. Swanson lived to the age of 84, passing away of a heart ailment in New York on April 4, 1983. In addition to multiple Academy Award and Golden Globe nominations, Swanson has not one but 2 stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, one for movies at 6750 Hollywood Boulevard, and the other for television at 6301. She also received the George Eastman Award from the George Eastman House in 1955 and 1957 for her distinguished contribution to the art of film, and was honored by the museum in 1966 with a retrospective which screened several of her films. Lionel Barrymore was born Lionel Herbert Blythe on April 28, 1878 in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. He is the eldest son of the now famous Barrymore family. His brother John was also an actor and father to John Barrymore Jr. You might know his granddaughter the best, though, Drew Barrymore, of E.T. fame. Lionel, though, was the son of 2 actors and initially didn't want to follow his parents into the profession, but appeared with his grandmother on stage at the age of 15. He would continue to act on stage while always wanting to be an artist, before eventually transitioning to film starting in 1909. He would try his hand at directing while continuing to act, ultimately receiving Oscar nominations for both categories. He is perhaps best known for his role as the miserly banker Mr. Potter in the 1946 film It's a Wonderful Life. Barrymore was married twice, first to Doris Rank in 1904. They had two daughters together, but sadly, neither survived infancy, a fact that likely contributed to the couple's separation in 1922. He married once again in 1923 to Irene Fenwick, who had previously been in a relationship with his brother John. They remained together until her death in 1936. Barrymore would continue acting until his death in 1954 at the age of 76 in Los Angeles, California. His final film role was in Main Street to Broadway, in which he had a cameo alongside his sister Ethel. Raoul Walsh was a prolific actor and director in early Hollywood. He was born on March 11, 1887 in New York City, and was a founding member of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. One of his earliest roles was an uncredited appearance as John Wilkes Booth in D.W. Griffith's film The Birth of a Nation. He would also serve as an assistant director on the film before serving as an officer in the Army during World War I. He directed The Thief of Baghdad, starring Douglas Fairbanks and Anna May Wong, and What Price Glory. A quick side note, if you want to learn more about Anna May Wong, check out my interview with Katie G. Salisbury from earlier this year. She wrote a wonderful book about Anna called Not Your China Doll that has just been published and is widely available. In Sadie Thompson, Walsh returned to acting for the first time since 1915. Following that, he was slated to star in a film called In Old Arizona, but was in a car accident involving a jackrabbit jumping through the windshield of his car. He lost his right eye as a result, gave up the part, and ultimately left acting altogether. He would successfully transition to sound films and continued directing until 1964. Away from films, he bred horses with his brother, and they had a horse named Sunset Trail compete in the 1937 Kentucky Derby. Walsh was married three times, first to Miriam Cooper in 1916. They divorced in 1926 and he married Lorraine Miller in 1928. They remained together until 1947, at which time he married Mary Simpson. Walsh passed away on December 31, 1980, at the age of 90, in Simi Valley, California. Blanche Federici was born in Brooklyn, New York, on January 21, 1878. Sadie Thompson was only her third screen role, though she would go on to a fairly prolific career on screen until her passing at the age of 55 in December 1933. She also played the role of Mrs. Davidson in the original Broadway production of the play, and appeared in two films that were released following her death, including a small role in Frank Capra's classic It Happened One Night. Charles Lane was born on January 25, 1869 in Madison, Illinois, and had an extensive history on the stage before transitioning to film in the early 1900s. He appeared in numerous films through 1929, with Sadie Thompson being one of his last. While he no longer acted, he lived until 1945, passing away on October 17th of that year in Van Nuys, California. Lastly, James Marcus was born on January 21st, 1867 in New York City. He appeared in over 100 films between 1915 and 1937, with Sadie Thompson ranking among his best-known works. He passed away on October 15th, 1937 in Hollywood at the age of 70. From the start, this film was one that faced great odds in being produced. Due to the controversial subject matter of the story and the play on which it was based, the story was unofficially banned from being made into a film. This did not deter Swanson and Walsh, however, and Swanson met with Will Hayes to get a verbal approval to make the film before getting started. Once the pair started writing the script, they placed an ad announcing the film, hoping that no one would notice due to the furor over Charles Lindbergh's now famous flight across the Atlantic in 1927. People did notice, however, and United Artists received a telegram from the Motion Picture Association of America in protest. Swanson appealed directly to a number of the MPAA members and to the newspapers before deciding to proceed with the production anyway. Filming took place on Santa Catalina Island off the California coast and faced many issues with different cameramen. Censorship issues continued to plague the production even after the filming was complete, when reports that dirty words could be read on the characters' lips surfaced. Censors wanted to change Davidson's name in the story, but Swanson and Walsh both refused. As sound films began to take over silent films in 1928, Sadie Thompson was given an official score, but remained without dialogue. For a time, the film was thought to have been lost, but after Swanson's death in 1983, a print was found at her estate. However, the last reel of the film had been damaged, so the version we see today uses stills and footage from the 1932 film adaptation to complete the story. At the time, a reviewer in Variety claimed that there was, quote, likely to be a wide difference of opinion on Gloria Swanson's interpretation of the role, and called Barrymore's performance just okay, with Walsh doing well as both actor and director. Photoplay declared that, quote, Swanson dominated the picture with a flashing performance. And Screenland called the film, quote, one of the greatest comebacks in history for Swanson. And finally, Motion Picture Magazine seconded the notion from Photoplay that, quote, Swanson dominated the action throughout, with secondary honors going to Lionel Barrymore, who justified his name. The main critique of the film is obviously related to the tawdry subject matter. What I find interesting is that despite the objections to this first film version of the story, it would be adapted several more times, even as censorship and the production codes got stricter. Another thing I wanted to touch on is the distances between the places they talk about in the film. The action takes place in American Samoa, specifically the city of Pago Pago. They also mention Apia several times in the film, which is in Samoa, some 94 miles away. Davidson plans on having Sadie deported to San Francisco, which is nearly 5,000 miles. Keep in mind, this is around 100 years ago, so the only way to make the journey was by boat. A quick check of the website ports.com listed this as a 12-days journey traveling at 20 knots. Even going between Hawaii and American Samoa would have been at least a 6-day journey at that speed. It puts into perspective how long these voyages would have been at the time, and forces you to think about Sadie spending 2 weeks on a boat back to San Francisco, thinking about what awaited her there. As I mentioned at the top, the film was nominated for 2 Oscars. Swanson received her first of 3 nominations for Best Actress, and George Barnes was nominated for Best Cinematography for this and 2 other films that year. He would be nominated a total of 8 times and win 1 award for cinematography for his work on Alfred Hitchcock's 1940 film, Rebecca. Personally, I really enjoyed the film. It was closely aligned with the short story, and it certainly helped me to have read the story first. I'll include a link to where you can read both the story and the play in the show notes. When it comes to Swanson, while she is probably best known for her role in Sunset Boulevard, this was a tremendous role for her, and I am putting a number of her films of this era on my watch list. She says so much with just her facial expressions in this film, and it gives even more meaning to her line from Sunset Boulevard that, quote, "We didn't need dialogue, we had faces." And of course, her last line from that film as well. "Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up." For a silent film, I'm glad that it didn't rely too much on the title cards and often let viewers do a bit of lip-reading to keep the action moving. I also want to call out the use of what I think was intentional damage to the film stock for certain scenes. Several times when characters go out in the torrential rain, it appears that the film is damaged or smudged. The only scenes where this has happened are during these outdoor rain scenes, so I have to assume that it was done intentionally to emphasize the reduced visibility caused by the rain. And a last little tidbit from me, if you're on your way to American Samoa and planning to stay in Pago Pago, you might consider the Sadie Thompson Inn, which is reportedly where Mom wrote the story and where it takes place. There's plenty of information available about this film online, given the high profile of the stars and its director. As always, I'll have links to several available resources in the show notes, including the short story, the play, and where you can stream the film online. Be sure to follow me on Facebook and Instagram, and subscribe to the Oscar Project newsletter at theoscarproject.substack.com. The Oscar Project podcast is written and produced by me, Jonathan Etreberg, with editing assistance from Joshua Etreberg. Join me for my next movie episode, where I'll be discussing the film Street Angel. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you at the movies.